I have a close friend who grew up in the area I did, so we have some similar memories of the woods. And going out in them. He used to tell me a story when we were kids that I never believed because he was pretty infamous for making shit up. But I've been reflecting more on it as I've been writing these other ones. He was about 12. They belonged to a Boy Scout troop. And they went out to a campsite for a weekend retreat or whatever you want to call those things. And as I recall, he said that it was him and about 12 other kids. He and like three other kids decided that after everyone had fallen asleep, they'd all get up, go fuck around in the woods, try to see which of them would wimp out first. They ended up waking up one other kid on accident, and he wanted to go along with them, so they all headed out pretty late. He said he didn't know exactly how late because he didn't think to check the time, but he estimated that it was a little after midnight. Only one of them brought a flashlight, so they stayed pretty close together. They got out far enough that they weren't afraid of waking anyone up. And then they were horsing around, messing with each other, trying to spook everyone. My friend said that it was actually really fun. Until one of the kids pointed ahead and said that he saw something. They followed this kid, and he led them to what looked like an old, big fire pit. The kid was standing over it, looking into the center of it. He asked for a flashlight, and everyone gathered round, and my friend said that it was the strangest thing. He said it almost looked like one of those old Warner Brothers cartoons where there's an impossibly perfect circle made out of solid black on the ground. He said he actually bent down to touch it to see if it really was just paper, but his hand went right down into the ground. When they lit it up with a flashlight, they could see that it was, in fact, an almost perfect circular tunnel. One that went down into the earth, but there were crude dirt steps carved into the sides, spiraling down. Now, the pit itself was about 5 feet wide, and the circle was almost exactly that. So it was pretty large enough for a small boy to go down in there. But they did their typical thing, yelling down into it, dropping a few rocks to see if they could hear it land, but they couldn't see or hear where it ended. So the talk turned into electing a kid to go down into it. My friend begged out of it, and he got ragged on, but he said it just didn't seem right. And he didn't think any of them should go down it. But the kid with the flashlight, who was sort of the unofficial leader, he gave my friend the flashlight, said that he was going to check it out. He climbed down into it and started following the stairs, which spiraled along the sides and down into a steep twist. He said, once he got down far enough, he'd call for the flashlight. And my friend would toss it down. It was stupid logic, but maybe the kid wanted to prove that he wasn't scared. Well, they watched him go down. Kept the light on him, but they couldn't see him anymore. Eventually, they could barely hear him. My friend started asking him to come back up. They said the last thing they heard him say was something to the effect of, "It's just going and going." Then he vanished. And they couldn't see him anymore. Not knowing what to do, but also not wanting to follow him down, the rest of the group waited by the pit for hours for this kid to come back. It was late. They were little boys, so at some point all of them fell asleep, and when they woke up, it was daylight. And that circle? The circle was gone. The ground was flat, like it had never even been there. They all panicked and dug down as far as they could, but there wasn't even a trace of the tunnel. My friend said that it wasn't like a cave-in, it was like they'd never been anything there in the first place. They rushed back to camp, where everyone was just starting to notice their collective absence, and told the counselor what had happened. Now, he didn't believe the whole bit about the weird tunnel, but of course, he could see that a kid was missing, so he called the police, and a search was started. My friend, the rest of that remaining group, led the searchers to the fire pit. There was a massive excavation. They never found anything. They searched the area for miles. Investigated a lot of sex offenders in town in case he was abducted. But they never found a single trace of that kid. Landslides are common here in the early spring, and that means extra policing of the trails and backwood area where I know people go. Most of the time we'll send out a few helicopters, but about 3 years ago, we went massively over budget after a fire in the main lodge. We couldn't afford to bring them out. This meant we had to go in by foot. Katie and I teamed up and headed out to the southwest, which is mostly mountainous terrain, a couple small rivers. Essentially, we get paid to go out and camp for a week. If we find a landslide, excellent. If not, excellent. Either way, we come out on top. KD and I are both fast in the woods, and we made great time. Our designated quadrant was about 15 miles from the trail, and relatively close, but not frequently used due to the steep incline. Both of us are familiar with the area. We were in good spirits. We camped out about a mile from our target, ate dinner, and turned in early. This is back when I still slept relatively well, so I fell asleep with no real issue. KD said it took her about 5 minutes to wake me up. She was crouching over my bag with her hair in all directions and her eyes slightly unfocused. "Stop," I said, pushing her hand away. She blinked and frowned. "Something's yelling," she mumbled. "Got that blinker?" I didn't understand what she wanted, so I tried to tell her that she was sleepwalking, but she kept insisting on the blinker. She made a sweeping motion with her hand. "Flashlight?" I asked. I pointed at the bag by the fire pit, and she dug through it. "What is it?" "I don't know." I pushed her bag to the side and turned the light on the ground. "Something in there?" She shook her head. "I don't know. It was weird." "Well, what do you want to do?" She kept the flashlight trained on the ground. "I don't know." "Go to sleep," I said. She blinked a few times and dragged her bag back. She kept the flashlight on, but I was tired. I shut my eyes. I'm not sure if I fell asleep or not, but KD was shaking me again, and this time she was awake. "What?" "Listen," she said. From somewhere close by, we could hear a strange sound. I heard it in the very back of my ear, and if I even breathed too loudly, it drowned it out. I cocked my head to the side and to try and figure out where it was coming from, but it was coming from all directions. A kind of distant, intermittent tone that I wasn't able to identify. "What is it?" "Yeah?" "I don't know," she whispered, looking over her shoulder. "But I've been hearing it for an hour. It's not going away or coming closer." We sat on my bag and listened to the sound. I got up and walked in a circle around the camp. It was almost impossible to tell, but I began to suspect that the sound was getting louder when I passed by the north end of the camp. KD got up and grabbed the light, and I took my rifle off my pack. The sky was clear. There was a good amount of light from all around us. We could hear deer. 9 times out of 10, the mysterious rustling visitors here at night are the deer. Every so often, the beam of flashlight passed over a set of eyes low to the ground, and I cut them a wide berth. The females won't generally become aggressive, but the males, well, those are assholes, especially in the early spring. We'd gone maybe a quarter of a mile, and the sound was definitely getting louder. We started to call out. The sound seemed to respond. We started to jog, and the beam of her flashlight bounced off the trunks of the trees. We jogged faster, and the sound got louder. It was a man's voice, and it was coming from somewhere above us. We called out, identified ourselves as rangers, but the voice stayed constant, a wordless, muffling wail. Sound got a little louder, and KD made a hard right, slowing down fast enough that I almost ran into her. The sound was right there, right in front of us, but I couldn't see anything. I dropped down, I felt along the ground, put my ear to it, but it wasn't there. I spun in a circle, calling out, and KD grabbed my arm. "Russ," she said, "what is it?" She was pointing at something on a large boulder about 10 feet from us. The flashlight bled, whitewashed the surface, and I adjusted the beam. Something on the boulder was moving slightly, something small and pale. It wiggled, and as I walked forward, the sound continued to get louder. Whatever the thing was, it was firmly embedded in the rock. Nothing about it was familiar, and I was curious. I picked up a stick, I poked it gently. It responded, but didn't move. I leaned forward slowly and carefully, my hands near my face in case the thing was some kind of stray defense mechanism. Something in the back of that pale thing caught the light for a brief moment. Something came together, and I moved away very slowly. KD watched me with wide eyes, and I stood in front of her, squinting into the light. "What is it?" she asked. I turned and looked at it. "Russ?" I led her over and helped her get a closer look. She reacted to the sound, flinched away when she saw the back of the thing, and she fell on her butt and scooted away, her eyes wide. "That's... we have to get it open," I said. "He's... we have... we need to." We looked at the boulder. The sound was coming from where the tip of the man's finger wiggled. We searched the surface of the boulder, took rocks, rang them against the sides. The screaming got louder. We yelled at each other and pounded the boulder, and neither of us would be able to leave to get the man help. He screamed and screamed from inside. I kept turning to the rifle, even though I knew it wouldn't help, and I pounded the surface with my fists. Not about cubic inches. How much the man was screaming. I told him to conserve his air, but all he would do was scream, and when we realized there was nothing we could do, we sat with him until the next afternoon when the screaming had finally stopped. And the fingers were still. Packed up camp. And we kept going to the target area and spent days searching the land. And on our way out, we passed by the boulder. The fingers were gone. The rock around it clawed and chipped. I haven't really thought about it much ever since.
Hey there, everyone who's listening on YouTube, or those of you who are listening on the podcast. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta. And before you head out for the night, I just wanted to let you know about a couple of things. Without you, the show doesn't take place. So, if you guys would like to support the show, or if you guys would like to get your hands on a couple of cool little things whenever new things come out, check out patreon.com/MrCreepypasta, and any support that you guys show, I really appreciate. For everyone who's already donated to the Patreon, I really appreciate it. You guys are amazing. I thank you so much for that. If you guys are looking for more Creepypasta Storytime, there's a new video that's uploaded to this channel or uploaded to the podcast every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday now. You can be able to get more from me at facebook.com/MrCreepypasta or on Twitter at MrCreepypasta and then the number 0. Thanks so much for listening, kids, and for your support. And sweet dreams.